This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. If you want to win tickets for the MSU-Ohio State game, give us a call. Our number to call is 353-5000, 353-5000, area code 517 to register for your chance to win tickets to MSU-Ohio State. Coming up this coming Saturday. And we'll talk Michigan State football with our good friend Ernie Boone. And Ernie is, he's been covering Michigan State, what can I say, for a long, long time. Just about as long as I have. And he has a unique perspective on the game and how, and what, well, one perspective isn't too surprising. Michigan State didn't play a good game, even though they beat Eastern Michigan. But he has a little bit surprising perspective on some of the other things that happened. So let's bring in our good friend Ernie Boone. Ernie, how you doing, buddy?
How's it going, Earl?
Okay.
I'm fine. Getting ready for this Spartan victory on Saturday.
Well, I hope so. I don't know if it will be. I'm putting down Ohio State for a win, but I hope they get a victory. You know, but we'll see Saturday. That's for sure. Hey, so now...
Hey, okay. These kids have caught the ball all their lives. I mean, these are not kids who can't catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, they got to start hanging on the ball.
Yes, that sooner or later, you would think that would happen.
Yeah.
They are young, but, you know, like you say, they've been catching the ball all their life, so there's no excuse or why shouldn't they continue catching the ball at this time. Some people are you know, they're not ready for the bright lights and playing at such a high level against since tough competition. So who knows why, but they have not been performing up to this point.
Yep.
So, I know you talked to me about, you don't think that college kids should be booed at this point. And, you know, it game.
That was really disappointing. That was really disappointing. I've only seen that once. I've been going to Michigan State football for 50 years. Mm-hmm. And I've only seen that happen one other time. Once we were playing one of the schools out of California with Bobby's last year, and they booed them going off the field, and they were winning. But these are 20-year-old kids. You know, they're not professionals. They should never be booed. I was really getting very disappointed in that. It makes you really angry. I mean, because these kids are not living up to our expectations, the fans, you boo. I mean, it's not like they're out there deliberately dropping balls, and it's not like they're being paid to do it.
Yeah, but it's a big time, as you know. It's big time football now. It's, you know, and they wanted to be on a big time team, so that, you know, that's probably goes with the territory.
But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't go with the territory. That should not be the territory. You know, we ought not accept it. Just because it happens, we should not accept that. That's not the way, especially in Michigan State. You know, Michigan State fans are usually pretty classy, and it was not very classy at all.
No, it wasn't. I mean, I have to agree with you on that. But you know, times change, and times, obviously, as you know, have changed quite a bit in the sport of football. I know people expect more maturity and better performance from their players. I know it's not right, but unfortunately, that's the way it is today.
Yeah, I recognize that. We just don't need to accept it. I mean, we need to condemn it. Just because it happens doesn't mean that we should accept it.
Yeah, well, that is true. Well, when
you know, these kids are good athletes. You know,
they're very good.
I'm more disappointed in the coaching than I am the players. I mean, if the players are out there doing the best they can, and one of the things the coaches got to begin to do is know who your playmakers are. I mean, they put a lot of pressure on these young kids, and take the pressure off the kids who have been playing. You know. Bell and Sims are the playmakers on this team. Ball's got to be in a playmaker's hand. You know, you look around, you lose a ball game, Bell carries the ball 19 times. You know, Notre Dame didn't take their running game away from them. Bell gained 4 yards or more in all but two of his carries. So when did Notre Dame stop the running game? They didn't stop the running game. We went away from it. It was a coaching decision to go away from it.
Yes,
you know, they throw the ball to Sims twice in the first half and never down the field. And, you know, Sims is your playmaker. You got to get in the ball. He needs to see the ball and see it often, and he needs to see it down the field. He never even tried to go down the field half time. I'm much more disappointed in Rochard than I am with Fowler, to be very honest.
Hell, I mean, you can, you know, that's, you're right to be disappointed, but as we just said, hey, they're throwing the ball is on target, the route is a good route, he's got to catch the ball.
Yes, he has to catch the ball, and, you know, I feel comfortable that eventually he will catch the ball. You know, I mean, part of it is, you know, they put an awful lot of pressure on the kids. Throw the ball to the kids who have demonstrated that they will and can catch the ball, and take all the pressure off. I mean, how do you play the whole first half on Saturday against Eastern Michigan? You throw the ball to Sims one time.
Yes, well,
I mean, give me a break. This is your playmaker. I mean, you're talking a passing game. He's a playmaker. They threw the ball to him against Boise State. They threw the ball to him on third down. Wait, you catch five or six first downs? I mean, you catch the ball six or seven times, and one for a first down?
Well, you know.
Then you play Notre Dame, and you don't throw it to them? You play Eastern Michigan, and you don't throw it to them?
Well, I think they're finally realizing that he is probably their best receiver. I mean, I know he's the best productive receiver. He's caught the most passes, but, you know, as you know, he's a tight end. And, you know, I'm not sure how, you know, it. No matter what the team is, you know, your tight end isn't usually your best receiver, that's for sure.
But, you know, common sense tells you that if he's your most productive receiver, you have to go to him. You don't ignore him. Mm-hmm. You know, the very first game of the season, he says to you, I'm the man. That's the way he played. And so, if you're a coach, you go to the man.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I mean, if you go to him and he doesn't produce, that's one thing. But he hasn't failed to produce when they've gone to him. They throw the ball to him, he's caught the ball.
Yes,
basically, you throw the ball to him and get in the direction, he catches the ball. So he needs to see the ball 8, 9, 10 times a game.
And hopefully they'll start doing that, that's for sure.
Yeah, I believe that they will do that against Ohio State. I believe against Ohio State, they will go to their playmakers. I think they know who the playmakers are now. If they have any question in four games, if there's any question about who are the people who make plays on this offense, it's Bell and Sims.
Yeah, but you know, Ernie, you need more than just two playmakers. I mean, that's nice. But you can shut down two playmakers.
Yes, but When you go to the playmaker, the defense has to try to take that person away from him. When they try to take the playmaker away from you, then you go other places. But you don't. You go away from your playmaker. You make them take your playmakers away from you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Ohio State's going to have to do. In this next
Ohio State is, you know, they got a running quarterback. This defense has done very well. You know, it's done good against a running quarterback. These kids have got to have a decent game at some point. I mean, I can't believe a kid like Fowler, who, you know, they run the patterns, they get open, the ball gets there. I got to believe if that continues to happen, should start catching the ball. You know, we talked about Dale. There was a time when Dale looked just like Fowler does.
Yeah.
He was dropping ball. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he starts to catch any other ball. Mm-hmm. You know, the more chances you get, if you've done it all your life, the more chances you get to do it, the more likely you are going to be to do it.
Yep.
I'm excited about Saturday. I really think that Saturday these kids come to play, they beat Ohio State.
Well, I hope they do. I hope they do, but I'm going to go with the Buckeyes in this one, Ernie, as I told you. Yeah,
you can have your Buckeyes, Ernie. You can have your Buckeyes. But don't, like I said, the only thing that I worry about is the coaching decisions. If they, you know, if they haven't learned, if Rashard has not learned that on this chain, your passing offense goes through Sims. In other words, you've got to start out getting the ball to Sims. You've got to make people focus on them, Sims. And then you go someplace else. You know, and Bill's got to see the ball 30 times.
Yeah.
You know, part of the problem is you only see the ball 19 times. He was on pace for a 105-110-yard game against Notre Dame based on the first half. And then they went away. You know, in the first half, they give him the ball on first down. The second half, they don't. You throw an incomplete pass on the first half, on the first down in a series, you got a pass in a series.
Yeah.
And so now you're putting all the pressure on the least experienced portion of your offense. The least productive portion of your offense. You put the pressure on them, give me a break.
See, that's the thing, Ernie, because, you know, we don't, as you know, since we don't get to watch a lot of practice, you know, we always hear that, you know, they had a great practice, they catch the ball all the time in practice, but it hasn't carried over to the games yet. And so how long do we wait before it finally starts to carry over to a game? I mean, yeah, it's nice they do it well in practice, but sooner or later, it's got to carry over to the games.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the problems. So, eventually, we'll see what Mark has to say tomorrow, but, you know, sooner or later, it's got to carry over to the games at some point in time. I mean, I know we can say, you know, they should catch the ball. They're getting open, and that's the thing. How long do you stick with it? How long do you stick with the guys? You've been going to them for four games, and they've been dropping passes for four games. And so sooner or later, it's got to turn around. Maybe it turns around after the season is over, but who knows? That's a big problem. So sooner or later, you got to step up to the plate. Sooner or later, you just got to sit down. But sooner or later, you know, you've got to come through. And that's where Michigan State is. You know, through four games, they've really got to come through at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But I feel comfortable that it will happen because these kids have done it all their lives. And it's not like these kids can't catch the ball. They haven't caught the ball, but they certainly can catch the ball. They've done it for an awful long time. I mean, these are not kids who weren't good receivers, and these are not kids who've been converted. You know, these are kids who have been catching the football.
Yep. They've been receivers all their life, yes. Yes, and you're right. It's odd that, you know, we know they haven't forgotten how to catch the ball. We know that. For whatever reason, they get nervous I've said that Maxwell throws the ball too hard. Maybe sometimes he might get a little bit more of a touch on it. But still, you know, even if you throw the ball high, if it hits you in the hands, you got to catch it. And a lot of those balls hit them in the hands, but they just haven't been making the catch, or even if it's a little bit off, you know, you make the catch.
You know, we talk about their drops, but, I mean, if you look at their drops in a crowd, their drops with contact. You know, it's not like they're out there and wide open, the ball's bouncing off them.
Yeah.
And you know, they're missing, they're dropping contested balls. And that's an issue.
Yeah,
somehow we got to figure a way to get them more separation. And I think you get more separation by going to the big fella who can indeed catch the ball in the crowd. And he's a beast. You know, I don't understand how you got a kid that is very, very difficult to defend, and you don't get him the ball. And you don't get the ball up the field. So we're completing 4-yard, 2-yard passes, 3-yard passes. First down, you throw a 2-yard pass. You complete it. What have you got?
Well, Ernie, I know we got to go. I wish we had more time, but we got to make way. We got our next guest, buddy. So, hey,
okay.
I'll be talking to you later on, my friend.
Okay. take it easy.
Okay, thank you. And that's Ernie Boone talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. It's 20 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
A $1 trillion problem hangs over states from California to Connecticut. They can't afford the pensions they've promised to workers.
What we're seeing is not the result of one bad year or two bad years. It's the result of a decade of bad choices.
Fixing that problem means painful cuts, tax hikes, or both. I'm Neil Conan, how to solve the pension crisis. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The weather forecast, windy today and mostly sunny, the high in the mid-60s. Mostly clear tonight, our low 45. Mostly sunny with a high of 71 tomorrow, and mostly sunny with a high of 69 expected for Wednesday. This is Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Let's bring in our next guest, our good friend from the Detroit News, columnist Lynn Henning. Lynn, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay, Earl. I hope everybody is rubbing balm in the wounds up there, although Michigan State's were less severe than everybody else's here this weekend, I guess.
Yes, it was. It was a bad weekend around the state of Michigan. Now, what happened with our Tigers? They lost a twin bill to Minnesota.
I think when you're a team that has a couple of glaring problems, Earl, and that is four or five hitters on any given day that don't hit,
And
too many guys that can't pick up the ball in the infield, you set yourself up for that kind of thing. Even though you're getting good pitching consistently and throughout, you're deficient in the other areas. And that's a bad twosome to try to win a division with, bad defense and so many blacked-out hitters. So it's no surprise to me, really, that what happened yesterday happened, because we've seen this over and over again in 2012. And these are problems that are pretty entrenched, Earl, and they're not going away. And for that reason, I don't think, frankly, they're going to get into the playoffs here, even with 10 games to go and a single-game deficit. They just haven't shown me that at the wire they're the horse to bet on.
Yes, I mean, why should you bet on a team that's playing like they have? And, they've been terrible here. And I keep saying that, I think they're going to turn it around near the end of the season. I kept pointing to these last series against Kansas City and Minnesota, how they end the season, and that that should take them in, and maybe that will cause them to win the playoff games. I mean, I'm sticking with it, but boy, I'm still scared. I mean, I'm more scared now than I was earlier in the season.
They just aren't going to overcome, I don't think, something that's really tragic, because if you can't pick up the baseball, and if you don't have guys that 5 through 9 are hitting with any kind of consistency, that leaves you to win with your pitching. And in baseball, you're supposed to be able to win with pitching. They could, Earl, because their pitching is good enough. But you can't sabotage it with too many guys not swinging the bats, and again, with too many ground balls getting through the infield and elsewhere. They thought they were going to be able to outslug their problems this year, and they haven't, because, half that lineup is unplugged at any given time. If they'd gotten just a modicum of help from 5 through 9, we wouldn't be having this conversation, but we are, and I don't really think that's going to change over 10 days.
Yes, now, do you think the team, like next year, do if they don't have players in their farm system that are adequate fielders that can do that, can they make trades? Do you think that, will they have to make trades next year to improve this team?
There are only a couple of places you can really attack. And shortstop is one of them. What I think probably will happen, they have a $6 million option on Johnny Peralta for next year. That's pretty cheap. And Johnny Peralta is only 30 years old. He plays 154 games every year. He never goes on the DL. And really, you can make a case for him probably as a third baseman. In fact, that's what Arizona wanted him to do in July. They wanted to trade with the Tigers for Peralta, move him to third base, and then send Stephen Drew to the Tigers. The Tigers, though, didn't need another left-handed bat. They were trying to get away from that part, and so they declined the deal. But it tells you, Earl, that there's probably a market out there for a $6 million guy of Johnny Peralta's particular skills if you punch him in at third base and count on him to provide just mediocre defense there, which he should be able to because range isn't as much a requirement at third. I'm giving you a scenario, but the Tigers know that they've got to get a shortstop. Now, Elvis Andrews down at Texas will probably be chopped because they've got their rookie there, Profar, who's about all set to play. Elvis Andrews would be just what this team needs, but the price tag on him, as you can imagine, is going to be pretty exorbitant. And even though they'll have a few trade chips, I don't know if he's the kind of guy they can get. But this is where it's going to get ticklish for Dave Dombrowski during this offseason. You've got to clean up the infield, particularly shortstop. You've got to get a corner outfielder because their guys like Garcia probably aren't going to be ready for that job next year. You will upgrade at those two positions for sure. And yet they don't have an unlimited amount of free agent dollars to spend on what figures to be a reasonably weak free agent market, particularly at the infield and also at corner outfield spots. Josh Hamilton is not the guy you can probably write the check for. They've got some very heavy raises that they're going to have to pay this year to guys like Scherzer and Pfister and Austin Jackson. And that's going to take $132 million payroll and raise it significantly. So he's going to be dealing in a bit of a box, but it's a box the Tigers have created. The one big failing of their system over the Dombrowski years is that they have not developed any middle infielders, and that's killed them. Obviously, it left them needing to trade for Infante in July, and they've never solved shortstop all through these years. That's a terrible indictment, frankly, of your drafting and your development, that middle infield spots have really been suffering from not only negligence, but more to the point from people that just didn't work out. Gaylord and a few folks like that, who should have, frankly, been very, very good players, just didn't develop for the reasons that so often happens in baseball. It's hard to project. But it's left them high and dry here, Earl. And until you get that infield defense repaired, and you've, again, got a small window of opportunity there because Cabrera for now is going to remain at third and Fielder probably has got to remain at first. And that's a lot of stuff to try to attack with limited resources over the offseason, but I don't see that they've got any choice.
Boy, now, does Cabrera win the Triple Crown this year? You know, we keep hearing that, you know, even though he's probably the leading candidate or should be the leading candidate, that a lot of people, you know, they're in love with Mike Trout. And Mike Trout can still probably win it. I mean, to me, it'd be a shame if Mike Trout wins it because the numbers that Cabrera's putting up, he should be a shoe-in. But you're not hearing nothing like that.
This is the toughest vote I've ever seen, Earl, and it's because there's such legitimacy to the two guys. Mike Trout is not just a hitter. He's not just a great leadoff guy. He's not just a kid that's come up here and hit close to 30 home runs and nearly has won a batting championship. At least he's still in the hunt. But he's also stolen 45 or plus bases. He's been a marvel on defense. This guy is the best all-around player in baseball probably right now. That is a compelling presence to suddenly just shunt aside and vote for the best hitter in baseball as your MVP. Although you can make that case for Cabrera, clearly you can make that case. And if he wins the Triple Crown, I don't care what anybody says about RBIs being a random stat or whatever. Now, a Triple Crown's a Triple Crown. If he wins a Triple Crown, I'll be doggone if I'm not voting for Miguel Cabrera. Now, this is a year I don't have MVP. I have Cy Young vote this year. So this isn't going to be my affair, except I've got to write about it. And I don't know how you sort this one out today, except I'm glad we've got 10 more teams. Because I think, frankly, the last 10 days are going to determine which of these horses wins by a nose.
Yes, and you know, there was a time, Ed, you know, that, yes, we always valued stolen bases, but, you know, it never really had a big, big value. It seems like it's getting more of a value now these days, because in the past, it never was really valued that much, as great as Ricky Henderson was.
It's huge, because clearly it puts a person in the scoring position, and secondly, it keeps you out of double plays, and when you've got Pujols and some less-than-fleet guys hitting behind you, that's important, but it's just high-energized baseball when you can steal bases and move around the bases the way he does, not to mention shut down innings the way he does with his glove on top of hitting these home runs and batting 330 or whatever. So this is a very valid candidacy, Earl, and I would simply submit to the local audience this. In both places, Anaheim and Detroit, flip-flop the players and see whose case you'd be making. Detroit would be screaming Mike Trout. Anaheim would be absolutely trumping Miguel Cabrera. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. This one is by a sliver either way.
Jeez, we'll keep watching it as we edge on to towards the end of the season, that's for sure. But, you know, it's a compelling race, that's for sure, between Cabrera and you know, and Mike Trout. It's going to be watched right up to the bitter end. And, you know, the Cy Young may be a little bit easier this year. Last year, it was, it was a Verlander and a runaway. He won't win it this year. But
He might. That's my vote, and that one's going to be tough. You got David Price, you got Jared Weaver, you've got Verlander, you've got Chris Sale, you've got Scherzer. Actually, if he hadn't developed that problem last week, would be in it. This is going to be a very difficult vote there. But we'll see how that shakes out. Fortunately, I'm able to blend a little football with baseball now, Earl. In fact, I'll be up there Saturday covering Michigan State and Ohio State, so I'll finally get a chance to see these guys live and find out what the heck's going on here with this pass offense. Because it's not all that unanticipated. I think all of us who saw that first game against Boise State said, boy, they got a lot of improving to do here in 2 weeks before Notre Dame. And it hasn't happened, and it might not happen, because the fall off from last year's receivers, Cunningham and Keyshawn and those guys, to really to Lip and company, this just isn't going to get it done here. I think this is the one problem, and one of the very, very few you would cite in the recruiting gap here. And under Mark's program, is that there's been this fall off from last year's receivers to the incoming crowd of Burbridge and company. And there should have been better intermediate class receivers here. Benny Fowler, I don't know what's going on with him any more than you guys do, except he's not hanging onto the ball.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, is this taking a toll. And unless it gets better, and markedly better, and pretty quickly, boy, this season that had so much promise can really be compromised. What am I saying here that you don't know? But it's really alarming. And yet, let's face it, everybody worried a little about this. And now we're seeing it play out.
Oh, yes. Well, they should worry, because like I told our last guest, I said, sooner or later, the guys, I mean, the ball's being delivered to them, and, you know, it's hitting them in the hands. A few balls are throwing over the head or maybe a little short, but for the most part, it's hitting them in the hands or hitting in the area where they should catch the ball. And they've been catching balls, like you know, all their lives. So sooner or later, that has to turn around, because if it doesn't, well, you know, it's going to be a long, long season. And through four games, they haven't shown that they can do it yet. So when do you give up?
Well, and Earl, you know, too, you can't expect Maxwell at this point to thread a needle every time.
Right.
And that's unfortunately been his responsibility, too, because these guys just can't seem to put any distance between themselves and the DBs. And that's been the other half of the problem here, on top of the fact that the offensive front clearly hasn't been Hall of Fame material here, and that's another issue that you've probably been chewing on over and over and over, and I realize that. But, wow, that's a tough set of elements here to suddenly overcome here 5 days before Ohio State.
Oh, without a doubt, and Deion Sims has been the leading receiver, and as I was saying to the other guests and our guests, our listeners out there, you know, I expect Ohio State to shut down. I mean, a tight end isn't that difficult to me to shut down. I mean, he's only the one guy, and when he's your number one receiver, you're going to take that number one receiver out of the game. I don't expect him to have a great game against Ohio State. Sure, they'll try to throw to him. I mean, he's been the most consistent one catching the ball. If you're the defensive of the other team, why don't you try to take that get player out? I see no reason why Ohio State won't try to do that or do that.
Well, they will. And, mm-hmm. and again, yeah, we know that Maxwell can't rely on 5-yard passes to Deion Sims all day. This is just not going to work. But it makes you wonder, Earl, really, if this is going to be an area of the game that can be substantially improved as the season goes on. Theoretically, you'd probably say yes to this. Practically speaking, with this particular core, this could be a tall, tall, tall order. And that's a shame, too, because clearly the team is so well constructed otherwise. And with that defense, you'd expect them to be able to triumph. But anymore, if you can't get that ball downfield, in this game, as sophisticated as it is in 2012, you're in trouble.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, they've got a lot of weapons, but unfortunately, the weapons haven't been coming through for them. So, you know, I'm sort of wondering, like a lot of people are wondering, well, when do you cut bait here and try something else? I mean, all these receivers they've got eight or nine receivers on scholarship, and none of them are hardly catching the ball other than the tight ends. So when does these guys, you say, hey, you guys got to put up or shut up? It's about that time.
I'd say so, mm-hmm. Earl, and about 5 days from today, you need to see really what this team is going to be this year. This is so defining this Saturday that I don't know if people are going to want to cover their eyes or say, yeah, mm-hmm. after all this tune-up here and after all of this fulminating here, we got a pretty good football team. But, boy, that should pretty well be answered Saturday.
Yes, and, you know, how many times do you give the ball to Le'Veon Bell? I mean, do you give him – he got 36 last week. Do you give him 40 to 45 times? I mean, you can only give him the ball so much.
We all know where that's going to go Saturday, mm-hmm. if that's their offense.
Yeah. He is their offense, and boy, if that's all you're relying on, I mean, yeah, he's a very good running back, but, boy, you know, you're asking for a lot to ask one man or just two guys to carry the load.
Yeah, this isn't Eastern or Central they're playing this week, as we know.
No, that's for sure. So yeah, we've got a lot to look at, Lynn. It's going to be a very tough game, that's for sure, against Ohio State. Even though you know they've got their problems. I mean, I watched them last week. They've got problems, but I don't know if they've got as many problems as Michigan State has.
That would be my question too, Earl. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lynn, it's always good talking with my friend, and I know I'll see you here Saturday for the game. It should be a heck of a game. We know that. That's one thing we definitely can say. It should be a very good game.
Well, let's hope so, and for the sake of the home audience here, let's see Michigan State win.
Yeah, let's see that, Lynn. Okay, hey, thanks a lot, buddy.
Okay, Earl.
Yep, we'll talk to you later. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Lynn Henning from the Detroit News columnist and talking sports with us right here on AM 870. Yes, I'm hoping that Michigan State wins, but, you know, my heart says, of course, Michigan State, but my head is telling me Ohio State. That's a tough way to go, isn't it, Aaron? My heart is saying, you know, go with the Spartans, but my head is saying, no, dummy, take Ohio State. So,
yeah, that's always a tough part. Is you always want to take what your heart and kind of what your gut says, but your brain and your stats tell you to go with Ohio State. But
yes.
You know, you never know. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
That's for sure. It's 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
When a runner cuts corners during a marathon or a competitive Scrabble player gets caught with extra tiles, the motives can be hard to grasp. Behavioral economist Dan Ariely says cheating is more common than you think.
As long as we cheat just a little bit, we can still view ourselves as good people.
I'm Neil Conan. The weird ways we cheat and why we do it. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKR.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. Our high today, 64 degrees, windy and mostly sunny conditions. Mostly clear with a low in the mid-40s tonight. Tuesday will be mostly sunny, our high 71 tomorrow, and the high 69 and mostly sunny Wednesday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Mert, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Of course, we want you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR in East Lansing. And hey, we've got a few cuts, but first we've got to tell you right now, give us a call at 353-5000, area code 517-353-5000 for your chance. You can register for your chance to win tickets to Michigan State, Ohio State game. Once again, 517-353-5000 for your chance to win tickets to Michigan State, Ohio State game coming up here Saturday at Spartan Stadium, game time 3:30. So come on, you know, register for your chance because you might be that lucky person to win you a pair of tickets. So give us a call. Talk sports with us. Michigan State President Luana K. Simon will be the guest of speakers at the Downtown Coaches Club Friday, September 28th at Eagle Eye Golf Center in Bath. In addition, a member of the Michigan State football coaching staff will talk about the Eastern Michigan win and this week's game, Big Ten opener against Ohio State. Two Spartan football players will also be in attendance. The door is open at 10:30 a.m. That's the Downtown Coaches Club. If you need additional information, just look at www.dtncoaches.org. That's www.dtncoaches.org for more information. Give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. And we've got a few cuts, but first, Aaron, before we get to the cuts, I got to ask you, what did you think of the game Saturday? What did you think of the game Saturday against Eastern Michigan?
Well, we've already talked about the big points. I mean, you know, the fact that apparently this team doesn't have any wide receivers besides Sims. Bell is obviously just he's a horse out there. He's carrying the load of the offense. You would think that when you look at the numbers, you'd think, oh, Bell must have been doing all the throwing because he has 250-some yards and Maxwell has 100-some yards. So, you know, those numbers should be flip-flopped. The defense didn't play, you know, they held their own, but they didn't play, you know, amazing by any means.
Yes.
The offense has its problems, as I just said. So, you know, I think Coach was angry, honestly. He was angry. I think we all were angry. I mean, that should have been a blowout. But it wasn't. They didn't. Frankly, I just didn't see any fire in anyone.
Yeah.
You know, no one played with any sort of – it didn't look like anyone had any passion. And then on the offense, I don't know who's leading that. I don't know who the captain is on offense. I seriously don't know if there's a leader on that offense. Maxwell doesn't seem like he is willing to step up and take that role. Bell, you know, it seems like he's kind of a quiet guy. It just seems like there's no one on that offense that wants to step up and take that leadership role. That's another problem. I don't think there's anyone that wants to step up and take that leadership role. If someone does that, I think that might help. But, these guys got to catch the ball. It's that simple. I mean, they catch the ball, and a lot of your problems go away. They had,
the guys were open. They had seven drops they had that game.
Seven total? Okay. Yeah. I guess the TV was wrong. Big Ten Network was wrong. They had them down as five. But, they had 10 the week before. I mean, sure, okay, so you reduced it to by three drops. That's still seven. So, I mean, that's still a lot. I mean, you can't have that. And, I don't know where the drops were off the top of my head, what points in the game. But the drops are drops. They matter.
Yes.
I don't care where they're at in the game. So, those things need to be worked on. If they do that again against Ohio State, they have no shot against Ohio State. Unless the defense really steps up and just shuts down Ohio State, I mean – Bell's not going to be able to get 250 yards against Ohio State. Great player, but he's not going to be able to do it again.
Right.
He can't do that week in and week out. There's no way his body can take that. So, You know, there's a lot of things they got to work on.
Oh, that's for sure. And you know, Coach said that they came out, you know, flat in the first half. I don't know how you can be flat, but they were. He said they were flat in the first half, and that was very disappointing. And they've got, you're right, they've got a lot of work to do, and I'm quite sure he's going to tell us that tomorrow, that they will have a lot of work to do. Well, let's hear from Mark D'Antonio. This was after the game, and he talked about the team's play.
I guess you start off by saying, you know, interesting game today. You know, I thought Eastern played very hard, played very well, brought emotion to the football game, and was leading at half, obviously. You know, have to be more consistent as a football team early in the game, especially in the first half. Second half, played much better, ran the football. Le'Veon ran the ball very effectively and hard. You know, got some things opened up with Sims. Played very well, I thought, defensively throughout the game, but we need to play more consistently. In my estimation, players make plays. Plays don't make players. Players make plays. And so we need to be more consistent in what we're doing and execute better. And that's from a standpoint basically all around our football team. So that's the message that's delivered at halftime. We played better in the second half. We need to bring our emotion every day. And our emotion that was not there in the first half. And consequently, we were flat. And that's what we saw. So we picked it up in the second half, played better. But, again, credit Eastern Michigan and what they were doing. They had a lot of people up the line of scrimmage doing different things, and they played very effectively. So I'll take some.
Yes, he was right. Eastern Michigan did play. They played well, but, you know, that was a game, like you said, Aaron, that was a game Michigan State should have blown them out. It shouldn't have been that close, 23-7. They shouldn't have been that close. It's that simple. I mean, they're just when on paper, and then when you look at the game on you know, even though not games aren't won and lost on paper, but they're just a much better team.
Yeah, they are, and you know, I think you could tell. You know, the frustration in the coach's voice right there. And, you know, I was kind of hoping, you know, we might even play what he said after that. It was a odd press conference for him. It was different. You were there, obviously, that, you know, I think his question he answered about 5 to 7 questions in about, what, less than a minute?
Yes.
And then he walked out.
Yeah.
He gave one or two word answers. Mm-hmm. He was angry. He didn't want to answer questions. And but you're right. I think his point, you know, is taken. I mean, they on paper, Michigan State's a whole heck of a lot better. And even not on paper, they should have been a heck of a lot better on the field. I mean, they just got the talent. They got the guys are bigger, stronger, faster. But you know what? They got the win, so I guess
they got the win. That's the good part. Yeah,
that's the good part. But yeah. That only goes so far.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, let's hear from Andrew Maxwell. You know, they've got to fix the passing game. That's for sure. And Andrew talked about they need to really fix that passing game.
Well, I mean, I think it's just a matter of making plays when they present themselves. And I think everybody can look at the film and point the thumb and find out places where we can all improve. But, you know, bottom line, what I talk about all the time, we got to stay out of third and long. We got to be more effective on first and second down, and we got to start faster. And if we can do all those things, then we'll be okay and we'll get back on track.
And, yes, and also he talked about Deion Sims, and they've got to get more help for Deion Sims. Sims had a great second half and produced quite well, but he needs more help.
You know, I think it was just kind of fell into the plays that were getting called, and you know, and the defenses and the looks that they were giving us. He just happened to be open.
Yes, he was open, and he held onto the ball, which is the most important thing, Aaron. He held onto the ball when it was thrown to him. Now the other receivers have got to do as well. They've got to do the same thing. They've got to hold onto the ball. Well, I did have a chance to talk to Deion Sims after the game, and he talked about you know, how he was getting open.
I think we the defense was blitzing a lot in the first half, and we realized that, so we had a lot of play action that was open. I just happened to be open, and so I did a good job of executing.
And that's the key. This team has to execute. They have been very poor on execution. You know, that's the thing, Aaron. I every day when I'm over there at practice, they always talk about how good of a day they had at practice. This team is a good team that practiced, but for whatever reason, it doesn't come over on game day. I mean, yes, you can practice great all every night of the week, and you can have great, very good practices, but when is that going to translate on how you play on Saturday? And that's the magic question. Now, we don't know how that works out. Well, let's hear from Dan Roschar, and he talked about how the wide receivers really need to come to work.
You know, I thought Keith Mumphrey a week ago caught the ball very well and made plays for us, and then, you know, today he starts with the first one that comes off his chest, and then, you know, it kind of starts to snowball a little bit that way. But I thought the guys had a really good week of practice. I was really watching our wide receivers. I thought their effort was good, their route expression was good, and they caught the ball well. We just didn't transition into our play. So, you know, we're reaching and we'll continue to work.
Yes, Aaron. I don't know what, you know, how do you take that? I mean, they're constantly saying, that's all I hear is that they have a good week of practice, a good day of practice. All the time they talk about that they're doing so good in practice, but it doesn't get over to the game. So, you know, I don't know how we take that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a difficult one. I mean, you know, if it's great in practice, you would think it would translate to the game. For whatever reason, they can't seem to catch it in the game. And frankly, I think it comes down to the players on that one, their mental toughness. The more we talk about the drops, it probably gets more into the players' heads.
Sure.
You know, and becomes more difficult for them to keep it out of their head. They just need to go out there, relax, just run their routes, pretend like they are in practice. Obviously, the speed in game is a little bit higher. But when you get out there, you run your routes, just pretend you're in practice. I mean, it's just relax, you know.
Easy for us to say.
I know, but a drop here or there in college is unnormal. But the drops that these guys are having, it's a little unusual. Just go out there, relax, pretend you're in practice, don't let it get in your head, and be a little more tougher mentally, and these guys should be fine. I could go out there and probably catch some passes in practice too, and I might look good. Obviously, I'd probably drop 99 out of 100, but that one catch, I can get it. These guys just need to relax, go out there, play their game, do what they know how to do, do what they're told to do, and do what they do in practice, and I think they'll be fine.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, now it's Big Ten time. They've got 8 games left, all Big Ten games. And let's face it, the Big Ten just isn't this good this year.
No, they're not. It's going to happen. Every conference has that, except maybe the SEC. I can't remember the last time they didn't have a good conference. But Big Ten's not that good this year. Some of the teams are a little overrated, and I guess we got a caller in. Maybe they want to have their input on that too.
Yeah, because the Big Ten. I would say the Big Ten is definitely overrated. They just don't have that many good teams. I mean, Ohio State, of course, they're not eligible to go to a bowl game. It's like Penn State is not eligible to go to a bowl game. So those two teams, they're in trouble. But the rest of the conference just isn't that good. Purdue might be probably the best team in the other league of the teams. They might make it to Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game. That's a possibility. So I mean, but the other teams, boy, we look at we look around the Big Ten, and we see all the losses that they take, and it gets troubling for all of us who love the Big Ten or are fans of Big Ten football. This doesn't look like this is a big year or a good year for the Big Ten, that's for sure. And, you want the Big Ten to do well. You want the teams and everybody in the Big Ten to do well, but they don't. They just haven't done it thus far. Well, let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, hello, how you doing, buddy?
Okay.
Well, them bullies, Man Arbor got their second loss over the weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But they lost to 2 ranked teams. But, yeah, they everybody's having a little trouble. So,
right,
yeah.
We are. Mm-hmm. You know what I noticed, Earl, is the offenses are really shaky, all of them.
Yeah.
I was telling you, when you go up there to Ann Arbor, the only way you're going to beat that guy, you got to make him stay in the pocket and hit him hard when he does run with the ball.
Well, they've done a good job against him for the last 2 years, so let's see if they can do it for a third year.
But I noticed your offense was kind of struggling against Saturday, too. It seems like it's a combination of things. It ain't just the quarterback. It's drop passes. It's the fundamentals, and, it's hard for those kids to play with the kind of perfection we're asking for.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's a lot of discipline involved, and they certainly need that discipline, you know.
Well, you can drive the ball like Michigan. They drove the ball 60, 70 yards, and then they fumbled the ball, you know, or threw interceptions.
Yeah, they had, what, 5 interceptions in the game?
Yeah,
so overall,
yeah. You ain't going to beat
Right, you're not going to meet many teams like that.
You ain't going to beat Pop Warner teams like that.
Yeah, you can't have 6 turnovers, but.
And I noticed Notre Dame's offense, they're shaky. I mean, you looked at their quarterbacks. I mean, they only put one drive together, and that was one of those 5 interceptions they got. They didn't really drive the ball much on Michigan.
Yeah, that's true. They didn't, but. You know, it is what it is. We get all these teams, and they're just not playing well right now.
What do you think of this NFL thing, this referee thing that's going on?
Well, they need to get the regulars back. I mean, you know, we can complain and sit and complain, as everyone has done so much complaining about these referees. But the bottom line is they need to get the regulars back. And that's the thing. They can afford to pay these guys.
I know it. It just seems like, isn't it always the way that is? Business is always trying to hold out for the every little nickel and dime all they can save.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. And so, you know, sooner or later, it'll come to an end, whether it's going to be soon. Right now, I know that the replacement officials are signed to play through the first 5 games. So hopefully they can have this come to an end before you get to or at the end of that 5 weeks. So it's going to be it's definitely a challenge for the owners to try to reach out and try to reach, have a good thing with these officials and try to reach them and get to some kind of agreement. I don't know if they will, but that's their job. That's what they've got to do.
Do you think that field goal by New England was good or bad?
Oh, it was good. To me, it looked good. It looked like it made it just inside the upright.
Have you ever noticed why, you know, all the years we've been watching football, why wouldn't they put the post up maybe 5-10 more yards and have a instant replay behind the goalpost just to make sure that they were right?
Well, they put it up that high. I mean, over the years, it's put up a lot higher. I mean, yeah. I don't know if they should put it up any higher, but they've done a good job of keeping the goalposts up in line.
But, I mean, I'm talking about having a video camera behind the thing to make sure that, you know, they can check it in case it's that close like that one was.
Yeah, well, they checked. If you saw the replay just from the front, you could see that it just barely went inside. It was right there. So
okay,
yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad they got it right then.
Okay, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Yes, we had a lot of good games in the pros yesterday, and how about the Lions giving up what 5 touchdown passes over 50 yards. I mean, 5 plays over 50 yards. I think that was the first time it ever happened, Aaron, that you had 5 plays over 50 scoring plays over 50 yards in one NFL game. That hadn't happened before. So that was surprising.
Well, you know, it's against the Lions, so that's not surprising. Yeah, yesterday's game, man, that was, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that in my life. I honestly, you know, when they strip it away from Pettigrew and they ran that back,
yes.
You know, I'm like, oh, game over. Here we are in overtime, and then they, you know, miscommunication,
yes.
You know, on that. I believe it, you know, and the coach, you know, Schwartz owned up to it, and as did, you know, Sean Hill. They both owned up to that Sean said that was a mistake, and, you know, Schwartz said it wasn't supposed to be hiked. It was supposed to try to get him off sides, and he was ready to call a timeout right next to the referee on the sideline. You know, if they would have won that probably would have been the greatest win, you know, probably in the last 10 years for the Lions.
It would have been. It would have been very exciting for them. But, of course, the Lions, what do we say? They're the Lions. Sad to say, but that was the Lions, a typical Lion move. And hopefully they'll get over those kind of mistakes in the days to come. Hey, I want to thank you all for listening. Want you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. If you like listening to us, just come to us. We come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Remember, you're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. We'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870, WKAR.